Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're entering a place with Jesus right now. The Word, I think, will capture us there. We're not going to leave that place. We're going to end with some worship today when God does some great things in your lives. We're in a psalm. We're teaching on matters of the heart. And Psalm 119, as most of you know, that's the longest psalm there is in the Bible, 176 verses. We're not going to do all 176. We're just going to take another bite-sized piece out of this, start at verse 57 and work through verse 72. And the responding verses will be on the screen behind me. You are my portion, O Lord, and I've said I would keep your words. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. You have dealt with me, dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. The proud you have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Verse 72 together. The law of your mouth is better to me than 10 coins of gold and silver. Let's pray. Father, today, Lord, there's some work you're going to do, some heart surgery in all of us, myself included. Because, Lord, we're dealing with matters of the heart. And today, Lord, we're going to look down the road that's probably difficult for us to look at those places in us where it really takes affliction. It takes some woundedness that we are self-imposed, but God, that you will use it for our good. And it's going to be good for us to really expose those things to you. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. We ask all these powerful things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, there are many words and phrases that are used to describe the condition of the heart. And most of them wouldn't be necessarily the heart that beats inside of you, but when you think the word heart, it really is inclusive of the very fact of your emotions and all these different things put together. It's the essence of really who you are that keeps you going. And this thought is captured this way, like a couple words like this. A person has either a soft heart, a hard heart, broken heart, aching heart, or a changed heart, or just a few of the hundreds of ways that you describe the condition of a person's heart in any particular given time. And then there's words that none of us like to hear, the deceitful heart. Or what about the one, of course there's tender-hearted people, but then there's a heart that's been grieved, and there's a person that's just heart sick. Some of you fit in that category today, just sitting in this room. We didn't know anything about it. You tried to praise your way through it. But I hope by the end of this message, something will come to you that will bring you to a place of realizing that woundedness of heart is not always a bad thing.
Amen.
It makes you aware of some things that need to change. Some things about you, and some of the wounds that you feel are self-inflicted. Oh, Lord, well, here he goes again. Here's my three phrases we'll talk about today. First of all, are you willing to admit there was a time when you thought you had reached the end only to discover that it was the beginning of something wonderful?
Amen.
I'll tell you a story about that maybe today during this message. Number two, can you come to agreement with the fact that you must engage your heart totally in order to find peace and assurance of God's presence in your life? I think many times we get half-hearted. Now, it's not an indictment, but some of you are here kind of half-hearted, saying, well, I probably should go to church today, and you haven't engaged yet. But then when they start, some of the songs that started being sung, all of a sudden, something happened, and you had to let go. I want to let you know God wants genuineness of heart to be exposed while we're together. Number three, have you come to the realization that the freedom that you once thought you needed turned out to be an estrangement from truth and liberty that Jesus wants you to have? Boy, these are some tough phrases. But I'll tell you what, if we process, we may not process all three of them today, but we'll process some of them, and I believe that the exchange will be good because God's going to do some great stuff. Well, let's start with the big one, hardness of heart. How about that? Let's start with just a nice high place. Exodus chapter 10, verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then in the next verse that we'll pick it up is in 11, chapter 11, verse 10 says this. So Moses and Aaron did all these things, wonders in Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. What's up with that? In one particular place, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then another place it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We're going to spend some time exposing that to you and really coming to an understanding of what it means to be hard-hearted and what it means to allow that God will harden your heart. You're saying, does God do that? You're going to find out, oh, yes, he does. Some of us are determined. We're going to do it a certain way. Any of you raised in a household, they say, you just hard-headed. Well, y'all wouldn't near enough black folks. That boy's just hard-headed. And grandma had this said, his head is hard as a hicknut. Now, what in the world is a hicknut? I have no idea. I presume it's pretty hard. But hard-headed folks are folks, you can't tell them anything. They're determined they're going to do it this whole night and just get out there. And this is the time when they give you that, say, go ahead. You know, that is not permission. It says you're not going to like what's going to happen, but go ahead. That is the essence of what happens to us, and many times when we get hard-headed. That's when God hardens your heart. It's one of those type of things. This is not a permission slip, but go ahead. I'm going to let you find, you think your head's hard enough to handle this? Go ahead. See what happens. Well, this is the place where I believe that God's going to take us today, that despite how you look at it, there is no easy or gracious word to describe those who embrace a lifestyle of hard-heartedness. Oh, she's just a little determined, and she'll learn through time. Oh, she's just going through a phase, and she'll get through it. She might die. Why are you dismissing rebellion? The Bible says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. So why don't you get her a bunch of tarot cards for her birthday or a Ouija board? Huh? I wouldn't do that. Well, you might as well. When you give people a pass on the idea of the rebellious part that goes through, now you don't have to confront them, but I'll tell you what, you need to confront them on your knees and say, oh God, this is not going to happen. Lessons in life can bring us to the conclusion that the only means of survival is embracing a hard heart. And I realize that some of you said, well, I had to harden myself up to make it through an abusive dad or abusive mom or through cultural things that left me as in a deficit of my ability to be successful. And those are all true statements. There are some things that we just have to toughen ourselves up to kind of smile even though it really hurts. I understand that. But let me take you a little bit further. Indifference and intolerance of people can quickly move to the forefront of those who are seeking to survive at any cost. Indifference. So whatever, that's your problem. Deal with it. And somehow our culture has spilled over to some people because that's the way that people make it through this life. You have to be cutthroat and determined and not really care about folks and just get to the top any way that you can. Well, what about this? Road rage of the heart. I gave that phrase. Mm-hmm. I know none of you are afflicted with road rage. Jesus is with you all the time. Portland traffic. You love Portland traffic. You just put on some praise music and you just praise God all the way through. All the way up and down, you know, 217, I-5, you know, 205. You say, oh, Jesus, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Put on I don't believe that, and neither do you. Road rage of the heart is often portrayed by indifference of people who choose to ignore the prompting of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, not only can God take you through it, God is in it. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if you're in the most difficult moment of your life and everything's falling apart, I want to let you know Jesus is not on the outside looking. He is with you in the midst of the struggle. So you don't have to harden yourself up, but you know what you need to learn how to do? You need to learn to yield to the Spirit saying, God, what do I do? When you want to say those expletives and give demonstrations that are ungodly. Pastor, I never do that. I was on my way home the other night. And I was honestly merging with traffic. But I wasn't merging fast enough for the person that was behind me. And this guy starts blasting on his horn and he's shaking his fist and this type of thing. And Jesus rose up in me and I said, God bless you. But I tell you, there was another fellow down there who wanted to say something different. But I let Jesus win. Because it's a struggle, folks. And if you're not careful, you'll be like those hard-hearted folks. Because of the culture. Well, heartless acts of cruelty seem to be increasing with no remedy available to curtail their situation. And the bondage of Israel in the days of Pharaoh was merely a carryover for many years, 400 years. Of oppression, of people having to suffer, just unimaginable cruelty. You heard about the thing about, you know, they're supposed to be making bricks for them to build their temples and such like this, and they said, they're not doing it fast enough, and says, make them make bricks, just up the ante on how many bricks, but don't give them a straw, because they're bringing straw, let them get their own straw. It was like this cruel thing. Not only they're increasing the number of bricks to be brought, but the thing about it was, they're making it more difficult. I won't ask you to show hands today, but some people are living under that type of oppression and they just don't know how they're gonna survive. But the way that they've chosen to survive is they let their heart get hard. I wanna tell you how that works. The bad can't get out and the good can't get in. The bad can't get out. Oh, that was one of those Jesus moments. Anyway, the bad can't get out and the good can't get in. So hardness of heart won't help you. Pretty amazing. Here's a good thing that I believe that God will do for us. Hard-hearted treatment was a lifestyle to be accepted and not questioned. And I don't know whether you're a person that kind of has a world awareness of things that happen around the world, but for me, it's difficult to see rulers like, you know, Assad, who's head ruler over Syria, you know, the gassing people and other type of things that are going on. You're thinking, God, aren't you going to do something about that? And other countries siding in with him, defending what he's doing, that type of thing. But you know something, it's no different than when Hitler was around, just gassing Jews by the hundreds of thousands. Nobody said anything. And here's the problem. Brace yourself for this one. Some of us, I can excuse myself at times, have gotten to places, as long as it's not happening in my backyard, in my situation, well, God bless them, we'll just pray for it, and we just kind of move on, and it doesn't affect us. There's something wrong with when your heart gets that hard. Compassion doesn't have a chance. Well, God will comply with our wishes of a hard-hearted stance of behavior. Exodus chapter 9, verses 7 and 12. Exodus chapter 9. We'll get there in just a second. You have the scripture? Oh, that's right. I got to pick those up for you. I'm sorry. because I forgot to put them in the notes. That's not her fault. It's mine. Here, this is a place where Jesus is, where God was talking to the people. In chapter 7, he goes this way. This is a really interesting dialogue. Exodus chapter 9, verse 7 says this. Ah, here we go. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. This is the fifth plague that they had of livestock. A spirit went out from God that all of a sudden all the livestock of the Pharaohs and their people, they all died. But none of the livestock from Israel's camp died. And you think that Pharaoh would get a clue that perhaps God might be judging him? All your animals are dead. All of theirs are alive. Coincidence? No. God may be judging you. But you know, the interesting thing about it is people can make up all kinds of excuses why their life is crazy and will not face the facts. Could it be that you're evil? Corrupt? Off point? And the Bible says here, and Pharaoh hardened his heart anyway. And this is after five times some really awful things happen. Then you go to Exodus chapter 10, and this is God, this is the eighth plague, and verse 20, this is really interesting. Actually, I'll read a little bit before that. Then Moses called, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and he says, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. This is after they've gone through this particular plague, a plague of locusts. And now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So he went out from the Pharaoh to entreat the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about those type of things, and we'll say, oh God, if you just take this away, I'll change. Ever said that before?
Amen.
Come on, get real. Amen. Lord, if you take care of this, I'll serve you, or I will never do that particular thing again. He's lying through your teeth. Tried all them crocodile tears. But Jesus, all you wanted was relief. And so Pharaoh's kind of in this particular position. He says, yeah, he says, and now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once. And the Lord turned a very east wind, this is to get rid of the locusts, and took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. I want to tell you, when God does something for you, he doesn't do things halfway. When Jesus saved you, he saved you from the guttermost to the uttermost. You are a mess. And Jesus, through the cross, took care of all that stuff and gave you a new heart and righteousness and purity and holiness, this type of thing. He didn't give you, well, we'll do this in increments, in an installment. Come back next week, we'll give you just another little buzz, we'll give you an injection. And so this happens. Locusts go into the Red Sea. It's all good. Watch what happens. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. He said, what is up with that? Now I need to do some explaining, and I'm glad to do so. Even though Pharaoh said, I'm really struck to the heart. I want to do something different. God knows what's behind your words.
Amen.
Ever said I'm done with your mouth and your heart said, no, I'm not? This is the last cookie I'm gonna have. That's the best way I can explain it. Cake sitting underneath that glass, knife sitting to the side, ain't nobody home. And you're trying to measure, if I just take that little sliver, nobody will ever know. I'm trying to help you get saved. Because you're not done yet. Because the taste is still in your mouth and it's watering. And you're going to get another slice. In Jesus' name. The Bible says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He says, you know what? You're not ready yet. Even though I've taken the locusts out of this particular place, you may have said it with your mouth, but your heart is still saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. God's working with some people right now. I can kind of feel this registering in people's lives. Well, he will strengthen our resolve to rebel against the truth. What? How about this? Our free will to rebel will not be met with resistance. Ever told God to stop you? Or don't be looking at me like I'm crazy. Lord, if you don't want me to go there, don't let them show up. You don't want me to meet up with her, let me call. I call her and she won't pick up the phone. You don't look at me like I'm stupid. Yes, you did do that. Let me drive to her house and nobody's home. The devil's got you by the throat. And all the time you're saying, I don't want her to be home. There's another part who says, I hope she's there. Because you're not being honest. Hard-hearted. And God says, I'm going to let you chase. So God says, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to harden your heart against the truth. Because that's really how you feel. God will sometimes give us the desire of our heart, even when he knows it's bad. You got it. But then window envelopes with payments started coming. I can make those $570 a month payments. You can't even put gas in the thing. But you had to have it because it had all the stuff. Somebody gonna get saved today. I know they are, because I'm messing with you on a particular level because your heart was fixed. I'm gonna have this. I don't care what it takes. And somehow, by the providence of God, your credit went through. I'm going to leave it alone because some of you folks are suffering real hard. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm done, okay? Okay, here we go. In order to break from a hard heart, we must look to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 58 through 60. Here we go. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Leave those up there for a moment because I'm going to break this down for you. First of all, I entreat your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. You know, aren't you thankful for the word of God that says his mercies are renewed every morning? It's almost like he wipes the slate clean and says, oh, yesterday's mercies won't work for this one. We need a fresh set. Okay? I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I looked at my records and said, don't look so good. But I thought about what God has done for me. My ways, his testimonies. You know, my disobedience, his faithfulness. I thought about it and I realized that I don't have anything on my side, but when I talk about God's side, I realize there's some hope. And then this part I like, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Let me tell you about that delay. I remember a phrase that was told to me, delay is the cruelest form of denial. Write that one down. It was good. You kind of delay. You delay, say, well, I'll get back to her next week. You know the answer is no right now, but you won't tell them. What I'm trying to say here is that God, in the same way, If you're not going to do what God commands you, why don't you tell God, no, I'm not going to do it. But he says here, I did not delay to keep your commandments. See, some of us have got ourselves in that suspense world that God doesn't know the difference. You know, I don't really plan on doing it, but if I just kind of wait a few days and don't do anything, he'll forget. He ain't like mama. Get her distracted. I'm gonna leave it alone. Okay, here we go. Brokenness and contrite spirit will usher us into the presence of Jesus. We're going to Psalm 51. And many of you know, this is David's confession after he made his crucial mistake. We're going to examine that in a moment or two. But in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These God will not despise. Let me take the first one, broken spirit. Saying, God's going to break me down? No. Break your own spirit. In other words, peel off the rebellion on your part. Realize you need to take a break from all of those things that have impeded you from following Jesus with your whole heart. A broken spirit isn't necessarily somebody who's all beat down and has nothing left in them. But it's a person who's come to the realization that my plan has not worked and never will. Amen. That's a broken spirit. It says, you know, this plan I figured out, it's destined for failure, and I've got to stop lying to myself that it's okay. May I tell you today, what you think is okay is not okay, and you know it's not okay, so why don't you admit the truth and get out of that situation? I'll just give it a few more days. How many years ago was that? Well, contriteness of heart is a place where you can find no reason or excuse for your behavior. No reason. Contriteness of heart says, you know what? There was nothing good in it. Have you ever heard two people tell the same story two different ways? It was a great party. Everybody had a lot of fun. You were at the same party. You said, who? What party were you at? Well, the frame in which we do things is your expectations and their expectations are different. Some of you have learned to live comfortably in chaos. Or comfortably, here's another C, in compromise. Chaos, compromise. Without the other C that you need called conviction. Chaos, compromise, conviction. Ooh, what could be the case here? The Holy Spirit is not a condemner, he's a convictor. And he'll renew those convictions of what you knew were right in the first place to a place where you can come to repentance and therefore have peace with God. How about that? That works out pretty good. Well, so David discovered that he was that when he was willing to admit all that he had done wrong, the Lord was willing to forgive. And when we find wonder and amazement in the willingness of God to forgive and restore, we will experience tenderness of heart and be willing to accept others like ourselves. Let me get to this last little piece and then I'll take another direction. God will find grace and goodness in our heart's greatest affliction. Psalm 119, 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You're saying, what kind of craziness is that? That's like saying, oh, it's good for me, you know, that I broke my leg or I lost my leg. I didn't need it anyway. That's not what it said. That's not what it said. See, y'all reading crazy stuff. I don't know where you get this stuff from, but that ain't from God, I'll tell you that right now. But David was referencing in his mind the greatest mistake that everybody knows that he made. And I'll take you there in just a moment. But he says, the affliction that I experienced at that particular point was good for me because I came to a realization of how bad my problem with sin is. And until you reach that point where you recognize how bad sin is and how bad you are in coordinating your life around it, you will never have true salvation from anything. Well, David knew that he was wrong, that his wrongdoing was a result of bad decision that he'd made. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. I pretty much got this memorized, but I'll look at it. It says, "And it happened in the springtime of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged by Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem." Verse 2. "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked onto the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold." Just leave it right there. I like to say both of them started, "and then it happened." Because that's kind of a phrase that we use. I don't know what happened. And then it happened. We put it to an "it" to it. Rather than "I sinned." "Oh, it happened to me. You don't know what happened to me." I want to tell you the first mistake that you make, you weren't where you were supposed to be, otherwise it would not have happened. The Bible says it happened when kings are supposed to be out in battle, that David made a decision, "I don't need to go to battle. I'll send my homies out there to take care of it. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to chill." That's the new Probasco interpretation. And so he's walking around the balcony, and I guarantee this image is mine. "Oh, look at this massive kingdom that I have accomplished. And I have my men out there. They're over there. They're taking care of the battle. And I do a job. And I know they're doing a great job. That's how I trained them to do so. And I'm just taking a break." What the hell? Who had in the corner of my eye? If you'd been where you supposed to have been, you never would have to ask that question. I'm here to tell you that the majority of, all the sin you got in is when you weren't where you were supposed to be, and you were someplace where God wanted, you weren't where God wanted you to be. Or you made a decision that was predicated on the fact that God says kings or people who are loving are supposed to be doing, you should be reading the word and not flipping through channels. I'm going to simplify it for those of you who don't get it. Got to run through this quickly. He says, "Then it happened," are chilling words that can be repeated many times over as an introduction to a heart going astray. What about this? "When our heart is in sync with the Holy Spirit, we will avoid some of the deepest and most regretted mistakes." The Holy Spirit will never lead you into unrighteous behavior. "Oh, I feel that in the spirit to go to the club tonight." That's a lie from the pit. "I'm going there to witness." "Help me, Jesus." "Where are your Bible?" Never know, leave it alone. Many of the wounds that we carry in our spirits are self-inflicted as a result of disobedience. How about this? David's decision to stay at home was a setup of the enemy. Our anointing as believers is subject to our obedience and desire to do the will of God regardless of our feelings. I can be honest with you. There's sometimes you don't feel like going to work or going to work. You don't. But do you want a paycheck? Somehow, those feelings have to override. Your feelings can't be overridden by the fact of poverty. You can stay home all you want to, but don't expect any remuneration at the time the check is supposed to be. "I have a day missing from my check." That's the day you stayed home. Get a clue. Do not allow your feelings, because he did, you know, I'm sure he didn't feel, he's, you know, I've one battle after another. I know how this is kind of boring to me. But the Bible says when kings are supposed to go out to war, he made a decision and stayed home. You don't get to decide what God's already made a decision. Okay. So our leisure and boredom can lead us down the trail of compromise and catastrophe. The wounds that we experience from disobedience come from our unwillingness to operate in God's calling on our life. Just a couple more things as the worship team comes back up here, because I need to finish this today. David realized it was good for him to be afflicted. I want to tell you something. The affliction that you've gone through, or maybe you have something that's in your life, says, I really regret that, but I want to tell you it's a good thing. It's good that you realize at this particular point that it wasn't a good thing. Amen. It's what you do after that that makes a difference. So what's your resolve? He came to the realization that none of it would have happened if he had done what God had intended to, so he has to repent. That the things that he took for granted, that he knew what was going on, were not true. Some of you are living under false assumptions. And he learned that he had to be engaged with his whole heart to the statutes of the Lord. When you're backslidden in heart, you will make decisions all the time knowing that you're wrong and hoping that somehow they'll right themselves. Can I tell you that Jesus is the only, I don't worry about those, anyway, Jesus is the only one who can offer us mercy for our disobedience. And through cleansing from our sin, he will only come if we're willing to confess our wrong without excuses. And every sin we commit against the Lord, first, and then it's transferred down to others. When David finally made his confession, when Nathan the prophet came to him, he says, you're the man. The thing that helped him the most was he admitted it right at that moment. He didn't get in an argument with Nathan the prophet. Says, you're the man. He said, no, I'm not. We're going to sing this song. We're all going to sing this together. And then I'm going to make an altar response. Because it talks about trust in the Lord. Pastor Matthew wrote this song, and this is one song that I believe that God uses over and over again in my life. And the thought of the song is, you were here. God never leaves you. Mountains, valleys, your trust may be put in the Lord.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.